Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the beginning of the sixth perek of Zvochim, we notice in the outside margin of our Gemara Markings Shas Ozer a Nosei heading. In our marking system, using our special Shas Ozer, we attempt to present topic headings and structural notes as we go along. The topic headings are entitled Nosei. We've written in over here, Machlokes Tanoim, Bedin Rosh HaMizbeach. We'll see a Tanaic controversy regarding the top of the Mizbeach. What halachic status does the top of the Mizbeach have with regard to slaughtering different kinds of sacrifices? Rabbi Yossi says, Kulo Din Tzafon. The entire top of the Mizbeach has the status of Tzafon. Tzafon means literally north, and it's a reference to the northern part of the temple courtyard, the Azora, which is a necessity for the slaughtering of Kodshei Kodshim, high-level sanctity sacrifices. According to Rabbi Yossi, the entire top of the Mizbeach has a Tzafon status. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, Chetzio din Dorom v'chetzio din Tzafon. Half of the top of the Mizbeach has a north status, but the other half of the Mizbeach doesn't have a north status. It's called Dorom, meaning south, which is a location that's suitable for Kodshim Kalim, for lower level sanctity sacrifices, but not sufficient or not acceptable for the slaughtering of Kodshei Kodshim. Turning to the Mishnah, Kodshei Kodshim Shishachton Berosh HaMizbeach, one who slaughtered Kodshei Kodshim at the top of the Mizbeach, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ki'ilu Nishchatu B'Tzafon. It's as if he slaughtered them in the northern part of the courtyard. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mechatzi HaMizbeach V'Ladorom Kadorom. The southern half of the Mizbeach has a din of south, which means unsuitable for Kodshei Kodshim. Mechatzi HaMizbeach V'Latzafon Katzafon. From the northern half of the Mizbeach, though, has a din of Tzafon, and hence would be okay for the slaughtering of Kodshei Kodshim. It might be noted, and maybe it's fairly obvious, that the L'chadchila place of slaughtering sacrifices was on the ground itself, not on the top of the altar. The top of the altar, the top of the Mizbeach, was designed for the burning, sometimes we use the term, the offering up of sacrifices, the hakrova, the burning of the sacrifices, of the innards, or of the entire meat, entire body, if you're talking about a korban ola. The Gemara. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan. Omer Hoyo Rav Yossi, Kule Mizbeach Batzafon Koi. Rabbi Yochanan has been known to say that in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that the Mizbeach is located in the northern half of the Azora. The position of the Mizbeach, the position of the altar, was in the northern half of the Azora. If that be the case, Umai Ki'ilu, the Mishnah had Rabbi Yossi saying that if you slaughter on the top of the Mizbeach, it's as if you're in the Tzafon. If you're telling me the Mizbeach is positioned completely in the Tzafon, then you are in the Tzafon. It's inappropriate to say that it is as if you are in the Tzafon. So the Gemara answers, why does the Mishnah use the term Ki'ilu, giving you the feeling that the Mizbeach isn't literally in the Tzalfon when Rabbi Yochanan is telling me in the name of Rabbi Yossi that it was. So Mahu de Tema Bo'inon al Yerech Veleka. There's a pasuk in Vayikra, Perik Aleph Pasuk Yilal Aleph, in describing the Olas Tzon, the Korban Ola brought from Tzon. Tzon means sheep or goats. It says Veshachat Oisoi al Yerech Hamizbeach Tzafon Olifnei Hashem, which indicates you shall slaughter it by the foot of the Mizbeach in the northern part, Lifnei Hashem, in front of the Almighty. But since the Pasuk says, Al Yerech HaMizbeach, that the ideal place for slaughtering is at the foot of the Mizbeach, and if you're slaughtering it at the top, you're not fulfilling that element. So the Gemara goes on to say, Kamash Malon, the Mishnah informs us that even though you're doing it on the top, it's as if you're doing it at the foot of the Mizbeach in the north. Omar Le Rabbi Zera, the Rav Asi. At this point, we start a question that lasts a few lines. You can see from our long question marking, that's indicated by a kuf that is circled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. The lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. So Rabbi Zera addresses Rav Asi, who was the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Elo me'ato. If so, that you're deriving Rabbi Yossi's halacha of Mizbeach positioning from that which he says in the Mishnah, then Le Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who was the other opinion in the Mishnah, Hochi Nami, are you going to say that the position of the Mizbeach is as per what he said in the Mishnah, and it would come out to Chetzio Bat Tzafon VeChetzio Bat Darom, that the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, is positioned partially in the northern half of the courtyard and partially in the southern half of the courtyard. In other words, that the Mizbeach straddles the borderline between north and south. In other words, just like Rabbi Yossi described Shechita on the Mizbeach as Shechita Bat Tzafon, and then you drew a conclusion that Rabbi Yossi must hold that the Mizbeach is positioned completely in the north, then it would stand to reason that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would have the Mizbeach positioned part in the north and part in the south. But we know that's not the case. V'chitema hochinami, and if you say that's right, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds its part north, part south, but v'ho atu the amrs mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan. But you, Rav Asi, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Moidi Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda sheim shochton kenegdo bakarka psula. That Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would concede that if you slaughtered kotche kotchem in the place of the mizbeach kenegdoi bakarka, opposite it, in other words, in its stead, instead of it, if it was not there, and you were to slaughter in its place, on the ground, it would be pasul. Omar Le, Rav Asi responds, Hochi ko'omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, he will tell us, did not derive his explanation of Rabbi Yossi that the Mizbeach is positioned completely in the northern half of the Azara based on what Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan had a tradition as to what Rabbi Yossi holds regarding the position of the Mizbeach. Shnehem, let's read that again. Omar Le, Rav Asi says, Hochi kom Rabbi Yochanan, Shnehem mikro echod darshu. The two of them, namely Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, developed their halachas in the Mishnah based on a pasuk, and Rabbi Yochanan himself, when he said that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mizbeach is in the Tzafon, is not based on Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says what he does based on a Gezeiras HaKosuv, and Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Yossi based on the same pasuk. Shnehem Mikra Echad Darshu, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Yehuda darshened the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta olav es oiloisecha v'es shlomecha." Rabbi Yossi savar kulo le'oilo v'kulo l'shlomim. The mizbeach is available or is designed for the entire top of the mizbeach is suitable for an ola, as well as being suitable for a shlomim. Now, if you say that the entire top of the mizbeach is suitable for an ola, so that gives rise to Shitas Rabbi Yossi that the top of the mizbeach has a din of tzafon. But that does not necessarily mean that the mizbeach is positioned in the tzafon. In order for Rabbi Yochanan to say that Rabbi Yossi holds that the mizbeach is positioned totally in the tzafon, that's from a different source, but not based on our Mishnah necessarily. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Savar Chalkehu, divide the mizbeach. Legal division, of course. Chetzio le'oila v'chetzio le'shlamim. Half of the mizbeach, the northern half of the mizbeach top, was suitable for an ola, and the pasuk is telling me that the southern half of the mizbeach is suitable for shlamim. Truth is, if we want to be very precise, when it comes to a korban shlamim, there probably is no limitation. But as far as the ola is concerned, only half of the mizbeach is suitable for an ola. The isalka daitoch kula le'oilo kosher. If you were to think that the entire top of the mizbeach is kosher, and as Rabbi Yossi wanted to learn the pasuk, if the pasuk is telling me, like Rabbi Yossi says, that the entire top is suitable for an ola, then there would really be no necessity of telling me anything about a shlomim. Because if it's good for an ola, which is kochei kochim, it would certainly be good for kochim kalim. Hashto kulo le'ola kosher kulo le'shlomim ibaya? If it were kosher, if the entire top of the mizbeach were suitable for an ola, would you need to tell me that it's suitable for a shlomim? So by the fact that the pasuk mentions shlomim, it shows me that the reference to an ola is that only half of the mizbeach is suitable for the ola. The idach, Rabbi Yossi, what does he respond to that? Because Rabbi Yossi did say that the entire top of the mizbeach was suitable for an ola. The question would arise then, why does the pasuk have to mention anything about it being suitable for a shlomim? That would have been obvious. Itzrich. No, it's not so obvious. It's necessary to tell me that the top of the mizbeach is suitable also for a shlomim. Sakadai techamina, on my own, I would have thought, olohu didochik lei mokom. An ola is a type of korban whose general azora room is limited. And since it's limited, so maybe there is an allowance for the use of the top of the mizbeach for an ola. Avol shlomim de lo dochik le mokom, but a korban shlomim, which doesn't have any limitations within the azara, aim olo. Maybe the top of the mizbeach is not available for shlomim. Kamash malon, therefore the posuk tells me that the top, that even though the shlomim does not have a place limitation on the floor of the azara, even so, you can slaughter it, or if it's slaughtered on the top of the mizbeach, it's kosher. Gufa, Amar Rav Asi Rav Yochanan, Modi Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, Sheim Shochton Kenegdo Bakarka Psulos. Before in the Gemara, we actually offered an explanation for this term, for this statement. The Gemara will be dwelling on trying to define it. So we saw, and it's quoted here, that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that if you slaughter sacrifices kenegdo on the ground, or in the ground, it's not acceptable. What does that mean? Amalei Rav Achomi Difti the Ravina, my kenegdo vakarka. What is that term mean? The Gemara will go through a few stages in trying to establish that. You'll notice we have triangles that appear in the Gemara, and on the outside margin we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, topic heading combined with a structural note. You'll notice a triangle. These are Shlavim, stages. Lahazbir ha, the Omar, Rav Asim, Rav Yochanan, Moedi Rav Yossi, Rav Yudah, Shimshachtan, Kenegdoi, Vakarka, Psulas. So we'll go through a few stages till we get to an understanding of that phrase. E lema, if you are to think that kenegdon bakarka means amo yesoid amo soivev, that he slaughters the sacrifice on the yesod, the bottommost part of the mizbeach, the base of the mizbeach, or on the soivev, a higher walkway that surrounds the Mizbeach, a higher walkway. We should say it's the middle section of the Mizbeach that we've made allusions to in previous Gemaras, that's more indented than the Yesod. Well, Hai Gufe Mizbeach, who? That is the Mizbeach. That's not Kenegdo in its place, that's the Mizbeach itself. And if you're telling me that the Mizbeach is kosher for slaughtering, so you're in effect slaughtering on the Mizbeach, the Oid, my Kenegdoi Bakarka. And what does that mean? What does that phrase then mean? V'chitemo de'ovid mechilos bakarka v'shochepu, maybe Kenegdo Bakarka means that you dug tunnels underneath the Mizbeach and slaughtered over there. Well, v'chi ha'gavno mihavi mizbeach. If you had a situation like that, then you wouldn't even have a mizbeach. It seems from the statement of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah that if you slaughtered kenegdo bakarka psulos, that he's describing a situation where you have the Mizbeach, that if you were to do it on the Mizbeach, it would be okay. But Kenegdo Bakarka, while the Mizbeach is there, but you do it Kenegdo Bakarka, so that would be puzzle. Once again, the Mizbeach okay, but the Karka, Kenegdo Bakarka is not okay. But if you had a Mizbeach sitting on tunnels, the Mizbeach itself would not be okay. V'chi hai gavno mihavi mizbeach, the Gemara points out. If there were tunnels underneath the mizbeach, then the mizbeach itself would not be acceptable. V'hatanya, it's taught in the following Tanaic source. Mizbach adomo ta'aseli. That's the pasuk. Shiei mechubur ba'adomo. The mizbeach is expected to be attached to the ground. Shelo yivnenu lo al gabi mechilois velo al gabi kifin. The mizbeach should not be built on top of tunnels, because if it were, so then the airspace of the tunnel would serve to disconnect the mizbeach from the ground. Nor should one build the mizbeach on kifin, on archways or vaults. So what does the term kenegdoi bakarka mean? Loi tzricha, debatsri bitsuri. There is a mizbeach present, and they shortened or they reduced the size of the mizbeach. Rashi, debatsri bitsuri, im nimlach lekatsir es mizbeach. If they decided to shorten the Mizbeach, shorten means in terms of area. We're not talking about shortening in terms of height. In terms of ground space, if they decide to reduce the Mizbeach, v'nishar mechza shel tzofon ponui, and the half of the northern half of where the Mizbeach stood is now just ground, because you cut away that part of the Mizbeach. V'shochat shom, and you slaughtered olos over there, psulos. The korban would not be acceptable. V'afagav diyerechu, even though it's at the foot of the remaining part of the Mizbeach, you do have a fulfillment of at the foot of, as we saw before, that was an expectation in the posuk. Nevertheless, posule, it's not acceptable. The location that's revealed by your having removed the northern part of the Mizbeach, that location on the ground is not suitable for an Ola, or for Kotshe Kotshim. Alma, Svirolei, we can conclude from this that Rabbi Yossi Berbuda is of the opinion, Bedorom Azora Hu, that the Mizbeach stood entirely in the southern half of the Azora. The E lo, because if it were not so, if it were standing part in the north or completely in the north, Amai Posole, why would the revealed spot be unacceptable? The revealed spot after you cut away the northern part of the Mizbeach. But by virtue of the fact that the Mizbeach is standing completely in the southern half of the Azora, it may be, according to Rabbi Yossi Berbuda, as we saw before, that on top of the Mizbeach, the northern half of the top of the Mizbeach is suitable for a Korban Ola. We saw that. That's based on Exeris HaKosuv. However, if you're not dealing with the top of the Mizbeach anymore, because you reduced it, the equivalent of that point on the ground is where? It's in the southern half of the Azora. Now you're on the floor of the southern half of the Azora. That's not acceptable for Kodshe Kodshim. So as we take stock of what we've seen till now, we have a machlokis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Berbuda as to how to classify the top of the Mizbeach. That classification has nothing to do, or let us say, it does not reveal anything to us about the actual location of the Mizbeach, the location of the actual Mizbeach itself, with regard to its position on the floor of the Azora. As far as that issue is concerned, we saw an independent statement of Rabbi Yochanan claiming that Rabbi Yossi holds the Mizbeach is located completely in the northern half of the Azora. But that point, as we said already a few times, has nothing to do with what Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah. Continuing in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Zera, this is a beginning of essentially a long point. This is indicated by our long point marking. To the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, you see a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, and it continues till Amud Beis and goes down quite a bit. In fact, it goes to the fourth wide line on Amud Beis, more than halfway down the page. All of this is designed to serve to illustrate a particular point. On the outside margin, we have a nose, a topic heading. Chipus achar mokor sheledivrei Rabbi Yossi hamizbeach kulo batzofon. We're going to be searching for a Tanaic source that would indicate that which Rabbi Yochanan taught. Rabbi Yochanan taught, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that the Mizbeach was located completely in the northern half of the Azora. After a lot of searching, the Gemara will find a source for that. Before we go into the Gemara itself, let's try to give somewhat of an introduction or a synopsis of what's going to happen. The Gemara will present a Tanaic source with no name in it. The source will be describing a fireplace or a pile of wood that's found on the top of the Mizbeach for the purpose of producing coals for the Keturis, and also a fireplace on the Mizbeach that would be the spot in which the Bozichin of the Lechem Haponim would be offered on Shabbos, every Shabbos. The Bozichin contained a type of spice, if you will, called levoina, that was part of the lechem aponim, which sat in the heichal, and every Shabbos, these bozichin, which contained, bozichin is the name of the vessel that contained the levona, every week on Shabbos it was taken from the heichal, from where the shulchan was positioned, in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, and brought into the courtyard and burnt on the top of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Where was this particular fireplace positioned? So we will see a source that says it was positioned 4 amos north of the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. We have a little diagram that you can see on the side of our page, an aerial view of the top of the Mizbeach with the different directions drawn around it, Sofon, Dorom, and Mizroch. You can see there's a, you can see the Marov, Dorom side of the Mizbeach, the southwestern corner. There's a little arrow indicating 4. That means that 4 amos pushed from the southern edge, 4 amos north toward the north, from the southwestern corner, that was to be the position on the top of the Mizbeach for the Ma'arocha, the Ma'arocha Shnia that was designed for the Turis, for producing coals for the Turis, and the place for burning the bozichin of the lechem aponim. What is significant about this particular position? Why does it have to be over there? So the Gemara will discuss this at great length on Amud Beis, going through numerous different possibilities. But what will become apparent in our discussion is that we want to have the coals taken from a point of the Mizbeach that's closest to the entrance of the Heichal. As a result of calculations that we'll see on Amud Beis, we will come to the conclusion that it must have been that the Mizbeach was positioned in the northern half of the Azora. Otherwise, the number of Amos to be moved from the southwestern corner would be something other than 4. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Zera, at the beginning of our long point, Efshar Isa Laha de Rabbi Yochanan, could it be that there is the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Mizbeach was entirely in the Tzafon, v'lo tanino lo b'masnisen, and there's no Tanaic reference to that opinion? Nofak dok v'ashkach. So he went out and investigated and found in Maseches Tomid, a Mishnah, the Snan, and you can see we have a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it's framed as we do in our Gemara marking system. We frame off Tanaic sources to distinguish them from the rest of the Gemara. Biru Misham Atse Te'ena Yofim L'Sader Marocha Shnia Shokteres Keneged Karen Marovas Droimis. They chose from the wood storehouse fig wood that was fitting, good quality fig wood for the purpose of setting up the Marocha Shnia, the second fireplace. There was the primary Marocha for the purpose of offering, for burning the different parts of Korbanos. The Marocha Shnia was called Marocha Shnia Shokteres. This was designed for creating the coals that would be used for bringing into the hechal on the golden altar, for placing on the golden altar in the hechal for the purpose of the incense offering every twice a day. And where was this? So it was near the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. Moshuch min hakeren klapit sofen arba amos. Now this is the key phrase. We've dashed underline it because this is what we'll be referring to as we go on in the calculations. And it's the fireplace is to be drawn northward from the southwestern corner, 4 amos north of that southwestern corner. Be'oimet chomesh soin gicholim. The amount of wood that you would put on that fireplace was an amount you would have to estimate that would produce 5 sa'ah. Sa'ah is a quantity, 5 sa'ah of coals. U'b'shabbos b'oimed shmoyne so'im gecholim. And in preparing the Maroch HaShniyah for Shabbos, you'd have to estimate an amount of wood that would produce 8 sa'ah of coals. Shisham ho yunostim shnei bozichei levona shalech ma'aponim, because in addition to the daily k'turis offering, that fireplace was used also for the burning of the bozichin that were associated with the lechem aponim. The bozichin, we should say more accurate, burning the levona contained in the bozichin. Umay simona. Let's look at Rashi at the very bottom. Umay simona mahu hasimen hazeh shehukba lehem lemaroch hashniyah la'aktoras v'habozichin. What is the significance of this spot that was chosen on the Mizbeach? Keren ma'arovas dromis u'moshuch arba amos min ha'keren l'sofon. What's the significance of that particular spot? Why there? So the Gemara answers, but before we can actually read the Gemara, we must take note of a very important marking. We have a geometric form, one of our series markings, in this case a volcano form, a trapezoid, and we have an explanation for it on the side. Notice, of course, there's also a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara in this form, indicating that this is really the first of a couple of these forms. What do they represent? So in our Mivneh, structural note, they represent Deos Shoinois B'mi Hatana Shel HaMishnah B'Tomid. Different opinions as to who the author of this Mishnah in Tomid is. The Mishnah that says Biru Mishamatsi Teno, etc. Moshech Min HaKeren Klap Itzof On Dalin Amos. So we're in the middle of a point which is designed to feature Rabbi Yossi, but bear in mind that later on in the Gemara, there's going to be other approaches to this particular source. But in the meantime, for as far as Rabbi Zeiwa's inquiry is concerned, in his search for a Tanaic source to back up Rabbi Yochanan's contention that Rabbi Yossi holds the Mizbeach was B'tzofon, it will be necessary for him to label this source from Tomid as being authored by Rabbi Yossi. So we go on in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, the author of this, we'll call it the source from Tomid, but primarily this issue of Maroch HaShniyah being 4 amas north of the southwestern corner, that is Shitas Rabbi Yossi. It conforms to Shitas Rabbi Yossi, Desanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, we have a Tanaic source at the top with Rabbi Yossi being the featured name. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zeh Simen Biodcha. Bear in mind the following rule. There are two rules. Aleph. One is Kol hanital bifnim linosein bachutz einoi noisein elo besamuch she'en lifnim. Truth is that it sounds a little bit like a riddle. The Gemara will ask, what is this referring to? But without committing ourselves to what it's referring to, it's basically saying that things that are taken from the Bifnim, the Heichal, to be brought outside must be taken and placed on and at the closest point. V'chol ha-nital b'chutz li'nosein lifnim, eino nital elo b'somuch shein lifnim. And in the opposite direction as well, the same rule applies. That which is taken from the outside to be put on the inside must be taken from the closest point. Still a little vague, but don't worry. Even though we're in the middle of a long point, we have a question right now on the left-hand side of the Gemara. You see a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. We call this a she'ela. We're trying to clarify what do these two phrases refer to. So the first aleph, kol hanital b'fnim linosein b'chutz ma'inihu. What are you referring to when you say that which is taken from the inside to be placed on the outside? Ilemo shirayim. If you are talking about the remnant blood from the chatois apnimios. Chatois apnimios are sin offerings whose blood was sprinkled in the heichal. The shirayim is the leftover blood, that which is remains after you did the, we call it the internal sprinklings. Those are to be brought to the outside mizbeach. So maybe what it's telling me is that you're supposed to bring them to the outside, the shirayim, to the outside mizbeach, at the closest point to the exit or entrance of the heichal. So if that is what you're referring to here, I don't need Rabbi Yossi to tell me a special rule about that. Behedya ksiv behu. We've squiggled the line behedya for the purpose of showing a certain balance and structure that we'll appreciate later on. Nevertheless, behedya ksibu, we have an explicit pasuk referring to that, to this idea of closest point. It says, regarding the shirayim of the chatois hapimios, el yisoid mizbach ha'ilo asher pesach ha'ilmoid, that you will bring the remaining blood to the mizbeach that is in the courtyard, known as the Mizbach HaOilah. That's at the Asher Pesach Ol Moed. That's at the entrance to the Ol Moed, indicating you bring it to the Mizbech at a point closest to the entrance to the Heichal. Well, that's clear. In fact, that certainly is a reference to the western side of the Mizbech. The western side of the Mizbech was the point of the Mizbech closest to the Heichal. So far, as far as what rule Aleph is referring to, that which is taken from the inside to be brought to the outside must be taken and placed at the closest point, it can't be referring to the Shirayim, because I don't need a special rule for that when the Pasuk itself indicates that. The issue, when we say that, we're referring to the issue of the closest point. Vesu, and furthermore, the second rule, kol hanital b'chutz linosein b'fnim, anything that's taken from the outside to be brought to the inside. Ma'inihu, what's that referring to? Ilemo gecholim shel yom kippurim. If you think it's referring to the coals used for the incense of Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, as many of you may know, incense was burnt in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of Yom Kippur, and in order to burn the incense, coals were needed, and those coals were produced on the Mizbeach in the courtyard and brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if Rule Beis is referring to the Gecholim of Yom Kippur, well, once again, Behedya Ksiv Behu. Notice we've squiggled on Behedya. This is what we referred to before to try to highlight the balance in the structure of the Gemara. Well, as far as this option, I don't need a rule for this either. The pasuk itself reveals the point of closest location. Ksiv behedya ksiv behu v'lokach mloi hamachto gachalei eish me'al hamizbeach milifnei Hashem. And this expression of taking it, the coals from the mizbeach milifnei Hashem, from in front of the Almighty, when we refer to lifnei Hashem, it may be explained that we're talking about the point closest to where the divine presence is most highly concentrated, and that's of course in the Heichal, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you're taking the coals from the Mizbeach, Milifnei Hashem, that itself is a giveaway that you're talking about from a point closest to the Heichal. So I wouldn't need a special rule to illustrate that which is already revealed to us in a pasuk. Ella, now the Gemara answers, and we call this a long answer marking. You can see also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little tuff that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. These next few lines will explain what the Aleph and Beis rules are referring to. Ella, the Aleph rule, kol anital b'fnim linosein b'chutz, equals shnei bozichei levoina shel lechem haponim degamri mishirayim. Notice we've dashed underlined degamri. Also, like we saw it before with the squiggle underlines with the words behedya, we're going to be using this marking to show a certain balance or structure in the next couple lines of Gemara. So we're saying that what is that the rule was needed for with regard to that which is taken from inside, in the Heichal, to be placed on the outside? That's a reference to the Shnei Bozichei Levona, which are learned from Shirayim, and Shirayim were mentioned above. And we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Mora text just to show you where that was mentioned earlier. So just like by the Shirayim we saw based on a Pasuk, the Shirayim were brought to the closest point on the Mizbeach, closest to the entrance of the Heichal, so to the Bozichei Levona that are brought from the inside, from the Shulchan that contained the Lechem upon him, the Bozichen are brought to a point on top of the Mizbeach, on the fireplace that is closest to the Heichal. Beis, Hanita b'chutz linosim b'fnim, that which is taken from the outside to be brought inside. That's a reference to Gecholim Dechol Yoyma V'Yoyma, the daily coals needed for the daily incense offering. That was done on the golden altar in the Heichal. The idea of them being taken from a point of the Mizbeach Hachitzon, the outside Mizbeach, from a point on that Mizbeach closest to the entrance to the Heichal, that's degamron, that's learned from Megacholim Shel Yom HaKippurim, from the coals of Yom Kippur, a point that was discussed, mentioned earlier as well. And if you have any trouble finding that, you can take advantage of the little arrows we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So far, we see we have two sources, one without a name and one with a name. The one without a name speaks about the Maroch HaShnia being positioned 4 amas north of the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. We have another source with Reb Yossi in it making a reference to those coals, the coals produced at that Maroch HaShnia, and he says that point, or if we combine the two sources, if we combine Reb Yossi and ascribe him as authoring the 4 amma source, it would come out that point on the Mizbeach, the 4 amma north of the southwestern corner, that was the point closest to the entrance of the Heichal. But we have to think about that now. And the Gemara will do the thinking for us. Umay Kosovar. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a lot of markings, but they're designed to be of assistance. On the outside margin, we have a mivneh, structural note. Shlavim levarer mikum hamizbeach bazara. These will be stages in order to determine the position of the mizbeach, we might add, according to Reb Yossi, in the azara. The house marking will feature E, which will be in effect each time a new stage of trying to figure out where things are. The double underline will feature the suggestions, either kule, it's entirely in a particular place, or chetzio, or half here, half there. And we've also used a diamond to highlight the word kosovar, indicating what he might hold. So each time you see a house, you realize that's a new stage of a suggestion. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll also take advantage of some diagrams that accompany our sugya. The diagrams are not drawn to scale, but they are here to help somewhat. Umay Kosovar. I Kosovar kule mizbeach badorom koi. If one is to think that the entire Mizbeach was located completely in the southern half of the Azorah, before we go on, we have to make reference to the diagrams. So you will notice that we have at the bottom of the page an aerial view of the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, the courtyard. You can see the top of the Mizbeach that's labeled Mizbeach Kula Bedorom. That's the lowermost figure in the diagram. Also, it's important to note where Tzafon is. North is to the right side of the diagram, and Dorom is the left side of the diagram. We're also noticing an aerial view of the Ulam, the entranceway to the Heichal, and the Heichal itself. The statistics that you see there are as follows. The Mizbeach itself was 32 by 32, with 32 Amos. When you skip to the upper part of the diagram, there's the Heichal had an entranceway measuring 10 Amos. The dashed vertical line that you see in that diagram is a divider, an indicator of where the south meets north, so to speak, the midway point. So that the midway point served to divide the northern half of the Azorah from the southern half of the Azorah. That midway point, it's extremely important to bear in mind that the Heichal was positioned half north and half south. That's not going to change in our discussions. That's a given. As our discussion unfolds, the position of the Mizbeach will vary. We can, in your mind's eye, we'll think about it as the sliding Mizbeach. For the time being, we're having the position of the Mizbeach completely in the south. If that be the case, the Mizbeach located completely in the south with its northern edge coming right to the borderline between north and south, we have to consider, when we talk about something being closest to Hashem, closest to the Almighty, what we're really saying is we want to have whatever we're talking about to be positioned as close as possible to the entrance of the Heichal. And what do we mean by the entrance of the Heichal? Well, for starters, it's a reference to that 10 Amma opening that you can see with the 10, and possibly a reference to the 20 Amma opening. That will depend on a point discussed in the Gemara concerning the sanctity of the Ulam. Does the Ulam represent a continuum of the Heichal, or is it a separate entity? We've also provided, for convenience, little numbers in parentheses. The 5 represents half of the entranceway of the Heichal, and the 10 represents half of the width of the Ulam entrance. With the Mizbeach positioned as it is, and we should just note before we go further, the fact that we're dwelling right now on these statistics will assist us extensively for the Gemara all the way till the bottom of this page and on to Nun Tes Omed Aleph as well, where these statistics will be referred to time and time again. So for all of the listeners to this shiur, it's important to get the numbers down now, and that will make the understanding of the coming Gemara quite a bit easier. with the Mizbeach positioned completely in the south, and the length of the Mizbeach running south to north is 32 amos. If you're starting at the southwestern point of the Mizbeach, and you want to be Lifnei Hashem, you want to be as close as possible to the entranceway to the Heichal, and at the first stage of our discussion, entranceway to the Heichal is that 10 Amma opening. How far must you draw the point of the Ketores from the southwestern corner? As things are right now in the southwestern corner, you can see that you are not opposite a point on the Mizbeach. You're not on a point on the Mizbeach that's opposite the entrance to the Heichal. So how can you get to a point on the Mizbeach that will enable you to, let us say, look directly into the Heichal? What's the minimum amount that you would have to move? So you're going to have to move from that southwestern point, you're going to have to make a northerly movement. In other words, move toward your right. How much of a northerly movement will you have to make? So, we can say as follows. When you get to the northern edge of the Mizbeach, where do you find yourself with regard to the entrance of the Heichal? Well, you find yourself at the midway point of that entrance. You see dashed vertical lines where things stand. That would be going a total of 32 amas north. But do you have to go all 32 amas to get to a point opposite the entrance to the Heichal? No, you don't have to go a full 32. You can go till the very beginning of the entrance to the Heichal. At what point does the very beginning of the entrance of the Heichal appear? That's why we have that little 5 in parentheses. Because as you get to the very beginning edge of the entrance to the Heichal, that would place you at a point that you can say, I am now Lifnei Hashem. Now I'm now opposite the entrance to the Heichal. So you don't have to go a full 32 amas from south to north to get to the desired point. If you were to go 32, let's say 32 minus 5, let's say you would go 27 amas north on the Mizbeach top, would you not find yourself, in fact, at a point on the Mizbeach opposite the entrance to the Heichal? And you would. So, however, the source that we saw on Amud Aleph that spoke about moving 4 amas north, that certainly would not conform to a situation where the Mizbeach was located completely in the south. So that's why this option is going to be rejected. The Gemara will eventually go on to say, even if you hold that our job, let's say, right now is to figure out a number, we've got to strive to minimize the number, we want to get to 4, basically. So if you're at the southwestern edge of the Mizbeach, and you're talking about getting to a point opposite the entrance to the Heichal, so 4 is certainly not enough. We just suggested you'll have to move 27 amas. Let's say, before we even get into the Gemara, let's say that the Ulam has the same sanctity level as the Heichal. That would mean that if you can position yourself to the entrance of the Ulam, that would accomplish the same thing. Well, the Ulam entranceway measures, instead of 10 for the Heichal, it measures 20 amas across, as is indicated on the diagram. Half of that entranceway is 10 amas, of course. If I want to get from the southwestern edge of the Mizbeach to a point opposite, the nearest point opposite the entranceway to the Ulam, how much would I have to move from south to north on the Mizbeach top? The answer to that is, you don't have to go all the way to the edge of the Mizbeach. As you can see from the dashed vertical lines, it would be enough if you were to go 32 minus 10. if you were to go 22 amas from south to north on the top of the Mizbeach, where would you find yourself? So you would find yourself at the very edge of the entranceway, the beginning edge of the entranceway to the Ulam. That would be good. However, you do have to move 22 amas. The source we were talking about had you moving 4 amos to the north. So it doesn't seem that that Rabbi Yossi would position the Mizbeach completely to the south. Once again, when we use Rabbi Yossi's name, we're making a major assumption over here that the unnamed 4 amos source on Omer Aleph is authored by Rabbi Yossi, who spoke about having things at the closest point. If you would say that the Mizbeach, let us say, is positioned halfway across the Azorah, meaning half of the Mizbeach is in the south and half of the Mizbeach is in the north. Well, if you can imagine that, then we have a diagram with the appropriate statistics drawn in. You can see that you have, once again, the Mizbeach positioned like the Heichal itself is positioned, half in the north and half in the south. The halfway point of the Mizbeach, since the Mizbeach measures 32 across, you can see we have a 16 in parentheses. That indicates the halfway point of the Mizbeach. If I want to get from the southwestern edge of the Mizbeach to a point opposite the entrance way to the Heichal, I wouldn't have to go from the southwestern edge till the midway point of the Mizbeach, because that's more than I need to be opposite the entranceway to the Heichal. So how much would you have to go from the southwestern edge till you hit a point that's opposite the entranceway to the Heichal? So if you were to move 11 amas, you would find that 11 amas, in other words, you would be going 11 amas from south to north. If you were then to look toward the Heichal, where would you find yourself? You would notice that you're opposite the very beginning entrance point to the Heichal. There's a little 5 in parentheses indicating that half of the Heichal entranceway measures 5 across. And like we said before, maybe the Ulam has the same sanctity level as the Heichal. That would enable me to take advantage of the wide opening of the Ulam, which measures 20 across, half of which is 10. How far would I have to go from the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach moving north in order to find myself opposite the Ulam entrance? You can see 6 amas would be sufficient. So to review that, to get myself in front of the Heichal entrance, I'd have to move 11 amas. But once again, 11 is much more than 4. And if you say that the Ulam and the Heichal have the same Kedusha, it would be sufficient for me to move 6 amas north. But 6, once again, is still more than 4. So far, positioning the Mizbeach completely in the south, we saw, doesn't work at all. The numbers were much too, the gap between 4 and the required numbers to get me to opposite the entranceway was too much. To position the Mizbeach at the halfway point, half in the south and half in the north, I would have to move more than 4 amas north on the top of the Mizbeach in order for me to find myself opposite an entranceway. The solution in order to figure out how you get to 4, that will be achieved only if you position the Mizbeach completely in the north. we will pause to introduce that stage when we get to it. But in the meantime, we're now going to read the Gemara, and bearing in mind as we go along in the Gemara, everything that we've already explained using the charts. Turning to the Gemara, we're looking at the line where you see the first house marking. Umay kosavar, what would Rabbi Yossi hold? Assuming once again that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Four Amma source, by virtue of the fact that that was described as the point closest to the entranceway, that is a point that Rabbi Yossi said explicitly at the top. So, I kosavar kule mizbeach badorom koi, that the entire mizbeach was located in the southern half of the Azora, which would result in the northern edge of the mizbeach reaching the midway point of the Azora, which also represented the midway point with regard to the entrance to the Heichal. In order for me to get the Maroch HaShnia to be positioned opposite the nearest point of the entrance to the Heichal, Esrim V'sheva Boy Lemesi, I would have to move 27 Amas northerly. From the southwestern corner, I have to move 27 Amas north in order to find myself at a point opposite the entrance to the Heichal. Ve'inami kosovar kedushas Heichal ve'ulam chadohi, and even if you hold that the sanctity of the Ulam is the same as the sanctity of the Heichal, and therefore the entrance to the Ulam would be sufficient to be considered lifnei Hashem at a closest point to the Almighty, then let's read that again. Ve'inami kosovar kedushas Heichal ve'ulam chadohi. Nevertheless, Esrim Vitarti Boi Mesi, you would have to move in a northerly direction from the southwestern corner, not 4 Amos, you'd have to move 22 Amos in order to find yourself at a point opposite the entrance to the Ulam. The E Kosovar, notice this is the second stage in positioning the Mizbeach. The I kosavar chetzio b'tzaf and the chetzio b'dor. Notice the double underline here. You can contrast this with what we said before, namely kule mizbech b'dorom. Here, chetzio b'tzaf and the chetzio b'dorom, half in the north and half in the south. If that be the case, but still, to get me to a point opposite the entrance to the heichal, then I'd have to move chad sorry boi lemesi. I'd have to move 11 Amas from that southwestern edge northerly to find myself opposite the entrance to the Heichal. The Elo Kosovar Heichal V'Ulam Chado Milsahi. Maybe you'll hold that the Ulam has the same sanctity as the Heichal, and therefore it would be sufficient for me to find myself at a point opposite the entrance to the Ulam. But still, even if the Mizbeach is positioned half north, half south, you'll still have to move Shis Boi Lemesi. You'll have to move 6 Amas northerly to find yourself opposite the entrance to the Ulam. Elo Lav Mishum Dekosovar Kule Mizbeach Batsofon Koi. To explain the 4, it must be that shita, that opinion will hold, the Mizbeach is completely in the north. But now, we're going to have to change our perspective, not only in terms of the position of the Mizbeach, but also with regard to understanding the number. Up till now, we're talking about numbers that were of a minimum nature. What's the minimum number of Amos you would have to move in order to find yourself opposite the entrance to the Heichal? Positioning the Mizbeach completely in the north, we're going to talk about the 4 as being the maximum number of Amos you'll be able to move in a northerly direction without overshooting the entrance.
So that is going to be a little bit of a change in perspective for us. The number 4 is going to actually be a maximum number. So before we read the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of a diagram that we have. Well, the information for this diagram will be found in the Rashi. Once again, we're talking about diagrams that are not drawn to scale, but they're here for illustration purpose only. As you look at the Mizbeach from an aerial point of view, you have to take into consideration there's a Yesoid, there's a Sovev, there's an area called Bein HaKronos, and then there's an area called Mokom Hiluch Kehanim, and then finally a place on the Mizbeach that is suitable for creating fireplaces. So as you look at the diagram, it's an aerial view, the little Aleph is the Yesod. The Yesod measured an Amma across. The width of that base of the Mizbeach is an Amma. The base is the Sovev. That has a width of an Amma as well. The Gimel, you're already at the top of the Mizbeach, but that Gimel is not a place that's suitable for doing anything, because it's between the Kronos, between the corners of the Mizbeach. The horns of the Mizbeach, if you will, those little squares represent the cubic structures that were at the top of the Mizbeach. The area that since they measure, those cubic structures measure an Amo, where the Gimel is drawn in, that represents the space on the Mizbeach top between those Kronos. So that also is an Amo. So far we've accounted for 3 Amos. The Dalid, that is an Amo of width that represents a Mokom, a place for the Kehanim to walk around on the top of the Mizbeach. So for walking around, in order for a person to stand in a particular spot, he takes up an Amma. So that represents also an Amma across. So as you find yourself at the southern edge of the Mizbeach, the southern edge of the Mizbeach, by the way, is at the borderline, where the north begins. So if you're at the southern edge of the Mizbeach and you want to figure out a place to put the Marocha and still be opposite the entrance of the Heichal, I can see from this that four Amas are not suitable. 4 Amas include the Yesod. I'm not going to make the Marocha on the Yesod, nor on the Sovev, nor between the Kronos, nor where the Kehanim walk. How much more can I move northward on this Mizbeach and still be opposite the entrance of the Heichal? You can see on this diagram that the entrance of the Heichal from the southern edge of this Mizbeach till the end of the entranceway is a total of 5 Amos. Concerning the first 4 Amos, I can't make a fireplace, as we've already described. The only point at which I can make a Marocha and still be opposite the entranceway to the Heichal would be right at the end of the 4 Amma mark, for the fourth completion of 4 Ammas, 4 into the 5th Amma. If I overshoot that, I'm going to no longer be opposite the entranceway to the Heichal. So the maximum number of Amos northerly on the Mizbeach top that I can still make the Marocha would be 4 Amos. And at that point, after I complete 4 Amas, then you make the fireplace. If I go 5 Amas on the top of the Mizbeach and then decide to make the fireplace, the fireplace itself will be beyond the entranceway to the Heichal. Turning now to the Gemara. We're picking up from the second wide line, the house marking, Elo Lav. Mishum de Kosovar Kule Mizbeach Betzofen Koi. The explanation of the four Amas that we saw in the unnamed source in Amud Aleph, and assuming that that's authored by Rabbi Yossi, it must be that he holds the entire Mizbeach is in the Tzofen. Vehani Arba Amos, the four Amos that he draws the fireplace from the southwestern edge northerly, those four Amos equals Amo Yesoid, the Amo Soivev, the Amo Mokoim Kronos, the Amo Mokoim Ragle HaKoihanim. And the four Amos that we have spoken about indicates that you should make the Marocha immediately at the completion of the four Amo mark, and not more than that. Because if you make it more than that, then you'll be overshooting the entranceway to the Heichal. The Chimasku v'kamei tfei, if you were to draw it in any further, su leko pesach, you'll no longer have a fulfillment of being opposite the entranceway. At this point in the Gemara, then, we've completed essentially the long point that describes Shitas Rabbi Yossi, or portrays Shitas Rabbi Yossi, as having the Mizbeach Kulei Betzofon, and this is what Rabbi Zera was concerned with. How is it that Rabbi Yochanan says something and there wasn't an apparent source in Tanaic literature to bear that out? But then he investigated the situation and found the source in Maseches Tomit, which we call the Four Amma source. And the explanation of the Four Amma source could be ascribed to Rabbi Yossi. And the understanding of Four Ammas is feasible only if you position the Mizbeach completely in the north. There are, however, other approaches to the Tomid source. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Ho Moni, Rabbi Yehudahi. The Tomid source is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mizbeach Memutza. Rabbi Yehuda has the Mizbeach positioned at the halfway point, half in the south and half in the north. The Oimed Be'emtsu Azora, and it stands in the middle of the Azora. Ushloishim Ushtaim Amos Hoyulo. The Mizbeach measured 32 Amos. Eser Amos Keneged Pischo Shohechal. 10 of the 32 Amos, we can even say 10 of the 10 middle Amos of the Mizbeach corresponded to the 10 Amos of the Heichal entrance. So if 10 Amos, the 10 middle Amos of the Mizbeach, were opposite the Heichal entrance, you would have 11 on either side. Achasisre Amo Mikan, v'achasisre Amo Mikan. 11 and 11 is 22, plus the 10 that were opposite the entrance to the Heichal. You would have, as we mentioned, 22 plus 10, a total of 32. Nimtza. Mizbeach mechuvon keneged Heichal. According to, with this model in mind, you find that the Mizbeach is located opposite the Heichal. Well, does that help us with regard to the four Amo idea? Sof, but still, the Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, how far away from the southwestern edge of this middle position Mizbeach, how far away from that southwestern edge would you have to move in order to be opposite the Heichal entrance? Chad sorry, boy lemesi. You would have to move 11 Amas. So how can you say that the 4 Amas source is authored by Rabbi Yehuda? Ve'i kosavar kedushas hecha ve'ulam chado milsahi. And if you were to hold that the ulam has the same sanctity as the hechal, and hence it would be sufficient to be opposite the entranceway to the ulam, but still, to get from the southwestern corner, we explained just before that those, the 11 amas of the Mizbeach there were not opposite the Hechal entrance. How many of those amas are needed to be moved in order to get to be opposite the Ulam entrance? Well, you don't have to move 11, because the Hechal, the Ulam entrance is much wider, but still, Shis boy Lemesi, you'll have to move 6 amas north, north of the southwestern corner, in order to get yourself opposite the Ulam entrance. As you can see on the chart that indicates the Mimutza approach, with the, we mentioned this earlier, with the Mizbeach being positioned in the midway section, you've got 16 amos of the Mizbeach in the southern part of the Azora. How many amos of the Ulam entranceway are in the southern part of the Azora? Well, 10 amos of the Ulam entrance are in the southern part of the Azora. So to go from the southwestern edge of a 16 amo dimension, you'd have to get to be opposite a 10 amo dimension, you'll have to go 6 amas north. That still doesn't help us if you want to label the 4 amma source with regard to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Mi safris hani arba amois, behadi amo yisod v'amo sovev. Who says that when the Talmud source presented 4 amas, that those 4 amas were a calculation including the Yesoid and the Sovev? Not so. Arba Amos, that figure of moving from southwestern edge of Mizbeach, were 4 amas bar me'amo Yesoid ve'amo Sovev, not taking into consideration the Yesod and the Sovev. So when we just said a moment before, move 6, the 6 and the 4 are one and the same. The 6 number would include the Amo Yesod and the Amo Sovev. The source in Talmud was assuming a starting point from the very top of the Mizbeach, what we referred to earlier as the Mokum Kronos. If you start from that point and you want to find yourself opposite the entrance to the Ulam, you would have to move 4 Amos. The Gemara asks, as far as Rav Ado Bar Ava is concerned, who set up the Talmud source according to Rabbi Yehuda, v'nukma k'Rabbi Yosi uve memutza, why not set it up according to Rabbi Yosi? Say that it's authored by Rabbi Yosi, and you're talking about a Mizbeach positioned at the halfway mark, and say the same thing, that the 4 amas is a statistic that does not take into consideration the Amo Yisrael Amos Sovev. Why does Rav Ado feel that it's better to label the Talmud source according to Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara answers, Mishum de Rabbi Yehuda, Shamano le Memutza behedya. Because we see Rabbi Yehuda say in an explicit fashion that the Mizbeach was position halfway. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim back a few lines to find a parallel star, you'll see on that line the source that Rav Yehuda's name was featured. The expression memutza is dashed, underlined. And this is the point that is being made right now. He spoke about being positioned halfway in an explicit fashion. The Gemara will present a third approach to who, according to whom the Talmud 4 Amma source may have been authored, but that, Mirtz Hashem, we will take care of in our next shiur. With that, we complete our shiur for today.